And you're listening to KTOO in Juneau. Good afternoon. Welcome to a Juneau afternoon. My name is Jamie Waste. I'll be your host today. We're going to be getting a preview of this week's gospel concert and Motown concert. We're going to be hearing from the Cycle Alaska Repair Clinic. Luke Metcalf will be in to talk about the Taqueria, a new restaurant in town. Andy Klein's going to be here to highlight the Alaska Brewing Company's Alaskan Crab Feed and Pub Crawl. And we'll get an update from Eagle Crest. Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music, and more coming your way on a Juneau afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Alaska Native leaders and community members voiced concerns to Interior Secretary Sally Jewell during her visit to Alaska this week. Matthew Smith reports on her visit to a coastal community.
His dad taught him how to hunt and work on snow machines, motors.
Becky Norton has lived in Kivalina all of her life, and she's seen firsthand what erosion has done to the small community on a barrier island between the Chukchi Sea and the Kivalina River.
My husband built us a cabin 8 miles upriver, about 30 feet away from the bank. And the bank where we are, it's pretty high, and this summer it fell into the river.
Becky's cabin and more destruction linked to changing sea levels and a warming Arctic took center stage at a presentation for Interior Secretary Sally Jewell. Speakers, including a group of four students, outlined the community's concerns, namely ongoing erosion, building a new school, and the need for an emergency evacuation road. All told, the school and the road alone could cost up to $100 million. Solving the erosion issue, millions more. Jewel listened, made introductions, posed for photos, before hopping in the back of a pickup truck for a tour of the village with Tribal President Millie Howley.
This is the home that's in danger of falling into the lagoon until they put the rock revetment up.
And they put that on the outside
on the,
there?
Yeah, on the outskirts. You can't see it from it because it's all covered with snow.
Who did that?
Corps of Engineers.
She saw the charred remains of the community's only store, which burned down in December, the home sinking into the frozen rivers, the brown tundra and jumbled ice that even now looked more like breakup than midwinter. Her time in Kivalina was brief, with every minute scheduled to keep her busy until her departure. But Jewel says it was worth it to see things firsthand.
It's hard to understand the impact in the abstract. When you see it up close, you really get a much better feel for the passion, the fear, the importance to culture and lifestyle that is all at risk here.
A new school, existing erosion plans from the Army Corps of Engineers, and more. All things, Jewel says, need to be part of the discussion when she goes back to Washington. Kivalina Tribal President Millie Howley says the secretary's visit was brief, but in the end, she thinks a success.
I feel like we've done the job, yeah. I think that was the main purpose, and we've done a good job.
As for Becky Norton, whose family cabin fell into the river, she says just how good a job the community did will be determined by what Jewel does next.
It all depends on how she takes it, you know, and pass it on to wherever it needs to go to get us help.
And she says to Governor Bill Walker and other lawmakers who came to the Northwest Alaska community to meet with Jewel, finding money for the community's new school and road could happen if they want it. I'm Matthew Smith.
Meanwhile, people across Alaska are remembering the contributions of dog musher George Atla, who died of cancer Sunday at the age of 81. KUAC's Dan Bross has more.
George Atla Jr. was dominant in sprint mushing for much of five decades, including years before the Iditarod, when sprint racing was the sport's primary focus and the competition was fierce. Atla won 10 Fur Rendezvous World Championships in Anchorage and 8 Open North American Championships in Fairbanks. With a laser focus, he described in a 2013 interview.
I didn't go to the race for any other reason except to win.
Atla had deep roots in the sport with a leg damaged by tuberculosis. The young Atla used dogs for racing and subsistence activities like fur trapping. Atla attributed some of his racing success to community support and a lineage of great dogs from the Koyukuk River region. George Atla will be buried in his home village of Hooslia Thursday.
That was Dan Bross reporting, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And the Cycle Alaska Repair Clinic, which is happening this afternoon, is the very first thing we're going to talk about today on a Juneau afternoon. Good afternoon, folks. In the studio with me is Colin Wigfield Gorka. Colin works at Cycle Alaska, and we'll talk about the repair clinics and some of the things you've covered in the past. But this afternoon, today at 5:15, you have a clinic. And why don't you tell folks about it?
Yeah, sure. We're today at 5:15. We're going to be learning all about rear derailleurs. So going to put a bike up in the stand. Everybody going to get their hands dirty and learn how to change cable and adjust the limit screws and all that good stuff.
So people don't need to bring their bike in.
No. We're going to have bikes there. We're going to break them and hopefully fix them.
Uh-huh. So how does it work? I mean, do you usually have how many people, and are they able to really get up close and see what's going on?
So people will probably kind of team up. I'll have maybe 4 bikes in the stand, something like that, so we can kind of all team up and work together and, kind of work through a little bit as much as we can.
So this is the derailleur, correct?
Yep, just the rear derailleur today.
Right.
That would give us a good little bit of focus on just one piece instead of trying to spread it out over the whole bike.
Right. So it's obvious, a bike, you got to take care of it. It's like a car. And so this is an opportunity for people to learn how to do this by themselves, right? So that at home or in their garage or wherever, they can do this kind of repair and maintenance work.
Yeah, and it's all pretty easy. So, you know, one of those things, you just do a little tweak every once in a while when things aren't working right and keep it running smooth.
So it's at 5:15 and it's like 45 minutes long?
Yep. Mm-hmm. 5:15 till 6.
So right after work, people could swing by Cycle Alaska, and that's the big red building over by the Labor Department building,
that's
right?
That's the one.
That's right.
Yep.
So clinics like this, you do these on occasion or regularly? Or?
Yeah. It's going to be Wednesday or Thursday, the second and fourth Wednesday or Thursday of every month until probably April or so.
And then what happens? The weather's so nice, you're just out riding bikes all the time?
We'll see. We're riding bikes now, so.
Well, we were talking about that before we came on, just that this mild winter, which for a lot of our outdoor enthusiasts, you know, friends who want to be in the snow and doing things in the snow, not so much this winter. So I'm assuming bike riding, there's been a lot of bike riding over the course of the winter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the mountain bike trails are open. It's go time.
And are you out there riding your bike every day?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
So when I see that flashing light and somebody dressed in foul weather gear, you're one of those?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
For sure.
Very good. And I'm assuming a lot of other people do. So during the winter, will people come in to have repair work done as well? Or?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're riding all winter, that's like so hard on bikes. So, yeah, we get lots of stuff in the winter.
So hard on bikes because?
Oh, it's just all the sand on the road, stuff like that. It's like just like sandpaper, just gunking everything up and jamming your drivetrain. So, yep, lots of little repairs, pretty much nonstop.
So I cannot count myself in the category of somebody who has been riding all winter long. My bike's hanging in the garage like a lot of other people.
Sure.
So I'm assuming coming off of a winter of hibernation, what are you supposed to do with your bike? I mean, for somebody who's going to pull it down pretty soon and start thinking about riding for the season, what do you recommend?
Sure, just put some air in the tires, put some oil on the chain. Make sure your brakes work, for sure. Just get on and start riding, for sure. But things don't really go bad on bikes, so it's not like changing the oil or anything like that in a car. You just kind of get on and go.
I think that testing the brakes thing makes a lot of sense. So daylight hours getting longer. People are going to be thinking about riding their bikes. That's a nice thing to look forward to. And
yep.
I kind of feels like winter might not happen the way we thought it would. So bike riding.
Yep, get out there.
So I think we got just a couple of minutes here left, and we were talking earlier about tomorrow, I think, also on a Juno afternoon. Another Cycle Alaska-related event is going to be talked about, and it's the trip south, the Juno kids that did the long kayaking trip and then the super long bike ride, I think, from Seattle all the way to the southern tip of South America. I think that's part of one of the adventure series that Cycle Alaska puts on for the community as well. So tomorrow afternoon, you can hear about that on a Juno afternoon, and there'll be a discussion, promotion about that as well. So anything else about the bike clinic, which is today, 5:15 at Cycle Alaska? Anything else you want to just touch on the highlights again for people?
Yeah, sure. It's just going to be all about rear derailleurs and how to get those tuned in. So if you want to know anything about that, come on by Cycle Alaska and get ready to get your hands dirty.
And then for folks who maybe didn't know about these bike clinics looking forward, again, you're hoping to do them every so often between now and when the weather gets better.
Yeah, it'll be probably one more this month and then a couple more in March. You can find out about them on Cycle Alaska's website, cycleak.com. Or Facebook.
And is there a cost here, or this is just
nope.
A free service for the community,
yep.
And educational opportunity, et cetera?
Yep, we like seeing bikes in good shape. So.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to add?
No. Good. Thanks.
Colin, thank you for coming in. And again, that's the Cycle Alaska Repair Clinic. It's your rear derailleur will be the focus this afternoon or this evening, 5:15 to 6 at Cycle Alaska. Colin, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 18th of February, 2015. It's the birthday of the novelist Toni Morrison, born in Lorain, Ohio, 1931. She was in her late 20s when she returned to her alma mater, Howard University, to teach. She joined a local writer's group, which required that you have a piece of writing for the meetings, and so she wrote a story about a young black girl who desperately wanted to have blue eyes. She put the story away for years. She moved off to Syracuse, New York. She got a job editing textbooks, went to work at Random House. She moved to Queens, New York, lived in a little house so close to the jet landing lane at JFK that everything rattled every time a plane landed. She wanted to read a good novel about the effects of racism on vulnerable people, but she couldn't find the sort of book she wanted to read, so she decided to write it herself, and she got out her old story from that writing group, and she began to expand it. She would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to write, and then she'd go to work, she'd come home, she'd make dinner, take care of her boys, and then go back to writing once they were asleep. And that novel was The Bluest Eye, was published when she was 39 years old. It's the birthday of the poet Jack Gilbert, born in Pittsburgh, 1925. Traveled around a good deal, went to Europe, came to San Francisco, where he hung out with the Beat poets. He was hailed as the brightest new poet coming down the road, and then he disappeared for a long time. Finally, in 1982, published Monolithos, a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, died in 2012 at the age of 87. It's the birthday of the man who wrote Zorba the Greek and The Last Temptation, Nikos Kazantzakis, born in Heraklion in what is now Greece in 1883. And it's the birthday of Wallace Stegner, Lake Mills, Iowa, 1909. The family moved out west, father hoping to strike it rich. They moved to Washington State, Montana, California, Saskatchewan, finally settled in Salt Lake City. Wallace's brother died suddenly of pneumonia. His mother died of cancer. His father committed suicide. His first big success was a book called The Big Rock Candy Mountain, loosely based on the experiences of his own family. Here's a poem for today by Alberto Rios, Coffee in the Afternoon. It was afternoon tea with tea food spread out, like in the books, except that it was coffee. She made a tin pot of cowboy coffee from memory. "That's what we used to call it," she said, "cowboy coffee." The grounds she pinched up in her hands, not a spoon, on the fire on the stove she made from a match. I sat with her and talked, but the talk was like the tea food. A little of this, something from the other plate as well, always with a napkin and a thank you. We sat and visited, and I watched her smoke cigarettes until the afternoon light was funny in the room, and then we said our goodbyes. The visit was liniment, the way the tea was coffee, a confusion, plain and nice, a balm for the nerves of two people living in the world, a balm in the tenor of its language, which spoke through our hands in the small lifting of our cups and our cakes to our lips. It was simplicity and held only what it needed. It was a gentle visit, and I did not see her again. Coffee in the Afternoon by Alberto Rios from The Theater of Night, published by Copper Canyon Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Up next on a Juno Afternoon, we have Reverend Bobby Lewis and Eustace Johnson in the studio. These two gentlemen have been here before. I think this is their fourth year.
Yeah.
Here in Juneau, and this is a part of Black History Celebration Month, continuing here in the capital city. Juneau Arts and Humanities Council bringing these gentlemen into town for all kinds of wonderful things. Now, there's two big notable musical events. There's
right.
Friday night, you got this Motown concert.
Yes.
And then on Sunday, you have the Gospel Choir Celebration,
yes.
Two performances.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about both those things.
Yes.
But first off, you've said you got here on Monday, and you've been busy.
We've been running.
What have you been doing?
We get off that plane, and we start running. We go get our rent a car and start going. And we start on Monday night. Everybody comes in, and we just start teaching music right at the bat.
So everybody comes in. Who do you mean?
Well, people sign up to mm-hmm. be a part of this workshop.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a journey. We go from the west coast of Africa all the way, slaves being boarded and brought to the colonies, Virginia and all that. And we tell the story through song and reading. And so we just start learning the music. It's on a Monday night. And we're hoping somebody would show up, and 144 people showed up in the choir.
Here in Juneau.
Yes.
144
right
people.
Right across the street in the Jack tonight. That would be probably 145, 46 people tonight.
Outstanding.
Singing beautifully. It's really wonderful.
So so you're teaching them history,
yes.
And you're teaching them the music, and
definitely.
The culmination here is on Sunday. This group of Juno
uh-huh.
singers,
all Juno singers,
get to sing in this choir.
Exactly.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
So that's Sunday. There's
that's
two
Sunday.
Performances.
Two?
One is two in the uh-huh. afternoon, and the other is at 7?
5:30.
5:30.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. And that's going to be right here.
Right there in the Jack. Yeah.
Right here at the Jack. And then Eustace, you're on piano, right?
Yes.
Now, is there a band, or is it just you, or?
Well, for rehearsals, it's just me, but at the concert, we'll be accompanied by a drummer and a bass player from Juneau.
From Juneau?
Yeah.
Yes.
Outstanding. And how long is the performance on Sunday?
Oh, it's about an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's about, they're learning like maybe a 13 to 14 songs, and they're also reading, they go up and they read pieces of the narration telling the journey. It's an event you'll never forget. It'll be packed. It'll be packed. So get your tickets now.
And are you practicing every night in
every
rehearsal?
Every night. And then during the day, I did the Senate this morning, mm-hmm. opening prayer with a singing prayer. And then we're going to different schools. Tomorrow we're in Harborview.
Right.
Yes, every year at Harborview. And so we do community activities. And then at night, do the concert. I do the workshops.
I read in the promotional materials over 100 people, and I scratched my head, and I thought, oh, they must be talking about down south when they go around and do this.
No.
But, oh, that's Juno.
The first year we were here, there was 66, and it has grown now to 145. It's amazing. It is an awesome experience. You know, people literally leave like, did this really just happen? It's really wonderful.
So that's Sunday.
Yes.
Now let's talk about Friday night.
Okay.
You're doing a Motown classics presentation.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell people what for people who show up for that, what are they going to see? What are they going to hear?
First of all, you're going to hear some of the best, some of the most popular Motown songs by myself and one of the professors from University of Fairbanks, University of Alaska Fairbanks, Janelle Soler. She's coming down to sing with me because we do a big Motown concert in Fairbanks also. So she's flying over to do this with us tonight, on Friday. And we have three ladies and a guy out of the choir, awesome voices. Mm-hmm. And we're going to blow it out. There's dancing. There's food. It's a great night. Packed out last year.
So I have to ask, do you have matching suits on?
No.
Are you going to do some dances and routines?
All,
I mean, I'm thinking Motown now.
All the routines happen on the dance floor by the people. There's so many routines. It's funny. It's awesome. So it's really a fun night.
Yeah. So, and Eustace, same thing. You have a live band for this?
Yes.
Or?
I'll actually be the same musicians that are playing for the gospel, yeah.
And you say Motown class. Actually, so I have a question for both of you. Is Motown, is that a generational thing at this point? Meaning it was a time in music history, but it's no longer really happening in the same way?
Motown is different. Since Berry Gordy left in the early, maybe 70s.
Yeah.
Since then, it's been still a company, but nothing like the classics of early 60s up to that. Nothing like it.
Yeah.
I mean, kids in high school now, when you start singing, I've got sunshine, they know it. You just have the bass line. They're like, it's just like the Beatles. Mm-hmm. It's just there, you know.
So you would expect a younger audience to be here as well as the older guys.
Last year, it was a blend of everybody.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. And lots of dancing. It's just fun and sweaty.
It is great dance music.
Oh, yeah.
So that's Friday night.
Friday night.
Friday night at the Jack. And then Sunday we have these great gospel choir celebration here in the capital city. You know, I want to talk a little bit more about a few more things. But,
okay.
Jeff, were we going to have them sing at the very end or have them sing now?
Yeah. Oh, now. Let's sing now.
Because they offered, and you just, maybe this isn't you. Maybe this is just Reverend Bobby.
No, they don't let me sing.
Well, why don't we have a moment of song here, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more.
Oh, wait, when people ask me to sing, I sing my favorite song by John Newton. He's a slave owner, and he wrote one of the most beautiful songs when he came to himself and realized how evil this thing of slavery was, and he wrote this beautiful song, and it goes like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My favorite song ever.
Goosebumps.
Awesome.
Goosebumps. So thank you for singing.
You're welcome.
And a question for both of you. So Your musical journey, how did it begin? When did it begin? Lifelong? Or?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're both church boys. We call ourselves church trash. We grew up, my father was a pastor, and my mom is a minister. His father was a deacon. They were church people. We grew up with church music, but along the way, when we were in school, you never heard the journey of where all the music came from. Mm-hmm. And as you study and as you sing, you start thinking, people need to hear this journey. And it's not, I come in February when they say Black American History Month, right. But it's really American history.
Yeah.
It's American history where Europeans went who had African partners, and they got Africans. The Africans sold Africans to the Europeans. It was about greed and money. And that journey, the thing that kept them alive, the thing that kept them from losing it was music. Mm-hmm. You know, they were different tribes, spoke different languages, but the thing that brought them together was music. And that's the thing that sustained them. And to this day, music sustains all of us. Bad day, put on your favorite song, and changes everything, you know. So that journey, we start sharing it with music, and it really becomes something amazing, you know. And when people come, they come to hear, they think they're coming to learn a genre, and they think they're coming to hear history. But you really hear about yourself. We've all had horrible days and been treated horribly on jobs. There's a transport that happens in your mind where you're learning this music, and you're like, this song is for me too today, you know, cancer diagnosis, these songs, it's all the same. So music has always had the same purpose, but different stories. So we just took our story, African-American story, and brought it right here to Virginia. And then all around the world. And now we're fighting the same fight together. So really is great that I could come with a room full of different people and teach our history. You know, this is not my history. It's our history.
And Eustace, when did you get connected with Bobby here?
I believe it was 1995.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually getting married. And he was a member of a church that I went to. I actually didn't even know his name, but I heard his voice in the congregation as I, you know, played on Sunday mornings. I was wondering, who has that great voice singing from the congregation? And turns out my who's now my brother-in-law, he canceled out the night before the wedding. He couldn't sing. He said he had laryngitis.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to actually call and find someone to tell me who was that guy that sings in the congregation, and it turned out to be Bobby. So I called him Saturday morning and the day of the wedding, and I said, I have a song that I wrote that I need to teach you. He said, when's the wedding? I said, it's in about 4 hours. And that was the working relationship. Since then, we've been working together. You know, it was just such a smooth relationship. We just kept it going for all these years.
And so here you are in Juneau, but you folks travel all across the country doing this, right?
Oh, and we travel doing different. So we even done a tour in Taiwan doing a Beatles tour, doing Beatles soulful Beatles music,
nice.
Learning that 60s journey and where the nation was during that time and how that music brought us together. So we do different tours and different stories, but all the same theme, how music ties the nations together. You know, we go to Spain, we go to Japan, they don't speak a lick of English. But as soon as you start singing, Oh Happy Day, it's like, you know, it's like we know each other, you know.
Yeah.
So it really is amazing.
You've been listening. Eustace, are you going to add to?
Jumping in.
Yeah.
I just want to mention that Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Jack, there's an open dress rehearsal for those who can't make it to the concert on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
At 1 p.m., you can just come, and I think it's just sort of a pass-the-plate thing. Just come and sit. It may be a little bit of stopping and going because it is a dress rehearsal, but, you know, you can come and enjoy the quiet just in case you can't make it on Sunday.
Very good. So you were just hearing from Eustace Johnson, who's the pianist and probably the anchor, the guy that keeps Reverend Bobby Lewis,
keeps it all together.
Keeps it all together. and Reverend Bobby Lewis. Thank you very much for coming in, both of you. So two great events this weekend. There's the Motown concert, Motown Classics, dancing, great singing. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, you can't miss it.
Friday night at the Jack, and that's at 7 o'clock. Sunday, you've got your two gospel choir celebration performances at 2 and at 5:30 at the Jack. Thank you for bringing your talents to Juno, and we look forward to the concerts and the performances. Thank you.
Thanks.
Just listening to some of the gospel music from Reverend Bobby Lewis, who we just heard from. So just a little musical accompaniment here to his interview. But up next, we have Luke Metcalf in the studio, and you're going to talk about a brand new restaurant. You know, and that's always one of the wonderful things in Juneau, when there's a brand new restaurant, people go, really? So tell me about it. Tell the folks about it.
Okay. Well, let me start over. Two guys, the guys that own the Rookery restaurant downtown, Bo Schooler and Travis Smith, approached me to, as far as looking for an investor to invest into a new taco place. So, in Old Samovar's restaurant that was across Green Park. Previously, Paradise Cafe was in there. So, it's been about 10 days. We've been officially reopened as the Taqueria.
You're open.
We are open right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our hours of operation are 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and that is Monday through Saturday. We are closed on Sundays. That might change depending on the cruise ship schedule, or, we might be open 7 days a week, but right now we're at 6.
So is this one of those things that you've dreamed about doing all of your life, or is this one of those things that just appeared kind of out of nowhere and you thought, interesting business opportunity here?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's definitely been a dream of mine to own or be part owner of a small business in Juneau here. Most of my experience, my adult working experience, has been in the alcohol and service industries.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a fairly good handle on, I think, the operation side of running a restaurant and a bar, or, either or, which makes it you know, yeah, it's a nice feeling instead of, you know, serving for someone else. It's a new page when you're actually working for yourself.
So I'm going to make a wild guess here. The menu is Mexican fare.
Yeah, very much so.
Tell us about it.
The idea was to have inexpensive tacos.
Mm-hmm.
We have, let's see, 8 different tacos that you can choose from. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about pricing on the air, but yeah, very inexpensive. We have quite a few different options as far as the tacos. Of course, we have plates with, you know, more of a full meal, tamales, flautas, enchiladas.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, it comes with beans and rice. But the idea is it's quick, it's inexpensive, and it's really quality, good food made in a traditional style.
And previously, you've been a cook. Do you have you hired a cook? Are you the cook? I mean, what's your – you're the owner, obviously. But
A good friend of mine and Bo Schuler, who actually just was nominated for James Beard – Award for young up-and-coming chefs today, which was big news, which is a, you know, nationwide award ceremony, essentially. So that was really neat. But him and Jose have been working together for quite a few years, and we've always, you know, every once in a while we got a treat. He'd make us some tamales, and his food is really, really good. So we've put Jose in charge of the kitchen down there. We rehired a couple of guys from Samovar's to help him out. And then I'm pretty much running the front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've hired a couple of people, but you'll probably see me most of the time down there.
And pretty much just straightforward restaurant business here. Do you see yourself having music? I mean, do you, out on the horizon there, do you see maybe offering more, or you want to just keep it simple about food and...
At the moment, I like the direction that we're headed. It's simple. It's about food.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we almost always have excellent radio on, which is a sister station here. And full disclosure, I did a show on there for a long time, so I'm a big fan. But
it's a small town, you know.
Yeah, it's a small space, so it's definitely nothing. We can't really, you know, accommodate a band or anything.
Yeah.
But I did have a good idea. Another DJ from KXLL, DJ Taco Todd, who does the Scorcher show, you know, he hasn't committed to this, but I want to get him to come in and DJ for basically a grand opening that we're trying to plan here in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find out more about that, you can visit our page on Facebook. It's under The Taqueria.
Okay, so my last question, and then we'll just go over the basics again, but the name... At first I thought, I get it. But, I mean, were there other names for the restaurant that you had in mind, or was it like, not, we're just, it's always been this in your mind?
Yeah, I've been kind of thinking that, you know, less is more. It's straight to the point.
It certainly is.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not very creative as far as coming up with names, but I felt that it was appropriate. I mean, it wasn't... You know, completely my decision, but I'm happy with it. I think it's appropriate.
Well, congratulations. I know it's this. You know, food is certainly a part of art and culture here in the capital city and just about anywhere. So it's always nice to have a new restaurant. And I know that Mexican food is certainly popular here in the capital city. So before we bring Andy Klein in here to talk about another event in town, anything else about the opening that you want to pass on to the audience?
I'll give you my phone number, the phone number of the restaurant itself, and then the address, just in case it's not clear. I found it easiest to describe the location, if you're not too familiar with downtown Juneau, the old Harley shop, which has since moved, but most people remember where that was because it was there for about 10 years. It's a little before that on your left as you're driving through downtown towards the library. The actual address is 245 Marine Way, and our phone number is 789-FISH or 789-3474.
Congratulations, The Taqueria. Luke, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
All right.
Appreciate it.
This is Bird Note. We're hearing a yellow-billed loon. calling on Alaska's North Slope. What does it take to make a recording like this? Here's Garrett Vinn, who captured these sounds while on assignment for the Cornell Lab of Ornithology.
Trying to record loons has been a really frustrating thing for us to do. I actually spent 12 hours under a piece of camouflage cloth waiting for yellow-billed loons to call, and I had a pair that were swimming right around the microphone, and we didn't get a peep out of them.
Now, imagine carrying very specialized battery-operated equipment, along with all your camping gear, across the tundra.
Basically, every step you take, you're sinking anywhere from your ankle to above your knee in wet, spongy terrain, which can be pretty exhausting, and a lot of times there's nowhere dry to put your things down and take a rest.
But the payoff is there, if you're lucky.
These are a pair of yellow-billed loons. They're giving, pretty much going through their whole repertoire of vocalizations, yodels, wails, and moans. If there's an invading loon on their lake, they'll especially get vocal. This recording, there was another loon that had landed on their lake, and they were trying to drive it off of their lake.
For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services in the Jordan Creek Center. Northern Audiology offers diagnostic medical hearing expertise and digital technology hearing instruments. 789-6780.
Andy Klein is in the studio, and Luke Metcalf still with us. And we just want to conclude the discussion about La Tuckeria with your...
Yeah, I would just want to tell everyone that's listening that I'm also on the board of directors here at KTOO, full disclosure, so you know.
Yeah. Thank you.
I've been to the taqueria, by the way. It's awesome.
Hey, thank you very much, Andy.
I had a tamale, a chicken tamale. It was excellent.
Yeah, man.
Andy, you know what? Jeff said maybe about 5 minutes for this, so I prepared for hours to figure out all the questions to ask you, but it came down to one. What's going on?
What's going on? So much. It's ridiculous. Real quick, one thing that's really fun is we just picked our nonprofit partner for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So Gastineau Humane Society is going to be our nonprofit for the year. We were able to give Trail Mix $14,000 last year based on the tip jar that we have at the gift shop and a couple of fundraising events that we do. So anyway, GHS is the nonprofit partner, one of many. I mean, we also give kegs and give cases and stuff like that, even to the KRN music series and stuff like that. Throughout the year, we try to benefit a lot of people.
And then every year, is there a designated nonprofit?
And then every year we have one designated that we do specific events for and then give the money from the tip jar.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that was Trail Mix last year, and it's GHS this year, so we're excited about that. And one of the first nonprofit we're going to do, nonprofit event we're going to do is the Crab Feed and Pub Crawl. We're going to start at Tracy's Crab Shack this Friday at 6 p.m. I may or may not have a king crab outfit that I'm wearing. I'm not committing absolutely to that.
How will we know it's you?
You may not, by the husky overtones. So we're going to meet up there. We're going to have we're going to have snow and Tanner crab there, and some corn, potatoes, bisque, a big, you know, crab feed, and some bisque, Tracy's bisque. But the thing is, unless you're on the way right now to the gift shop or downtown depot to buy tickets, it's sold out. There's like 3 tickets left downtown, and there's like 4 tickets left at the gift shop. So it's, for all intents and purposes, sold out.
So how many years in a row have you done this?
We've never done it.
Haven't I heard you talking about pub crawling before?
We did a pub crawl for Hopothermia last year. And we're doing this one in honor of the release of our brand new year-round beer, which I have here in front of me that we actually could maybe sample a little of, which is the Imperial Red Ale, now in 4-packs year-round. That came out as a pilot series a couple of years ago and even last year, and now we've made it into a year-round.
And how does this work? How does the pub crawl? I mean,
even if you didn't get a ticket and you still want to participate in the pub crawl, and we're going to do fun contests, and there's going to be gift cards and all kinds of different T-shirts and stuff that you can win at the different contests, just join us starting at 8:00 at the Red Dog. Then we're going to walk over to the Alaskan at about 9:00, and then at about 10:00 we'll end up at the Imperial. So you see the Alaskan Imperial Red Dog. Alaskan Imperial Red is the name of the new beer. See? See how that works? It's awesome.
And you, did you come up with that, Andy?
I don't know.
And you may or may not be there in a crab outfit.
May or may not, with a giant golden crown. Maybe. And then, with a throne as well.
And then, of course, you know, responsible drinking and all that kind of stuff.
Speaking of which...
So are the cabs out in force knowing to give people rides home?
Sure,
all that
yes.
Kind of stuff?
Yeah. That's a great point. In fact, there you go. We encourage that, obviously. And you can talk to one of us if we want to make an arrangement with a cab company or something like that. We can do that as well. And what we're going to be doing on the pub crawl, you know, it's going to be lasting basically a lot of the night. And we just have small samples of the Imperial Red that we'll be handing out. And then obviously there's plenty of stuff that people can get at, as you would at any bar. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try a little of this.
Fundraising event.
It's a fundraising event. The proceeds are going to GHS. And, like I said, the tickets for the crab feed itself is basically sold out. Although I think if you ran there right now, you could probably get a couple more tickets. But I think there's like basically 7 tickets left of the 120 tickets we had.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how'd that happen?
Boom. I know. Well, you know, I got on it and that thing happened. You know what? It's just crab and pub crawl. Just sounds like fun, right?
Yeah.
We're going to do a frozen t-shirt contest. So I know that Jeff Brown is really going to be into, yeah, that's sort of his forte.
How does that work?
So I don't think it actually will work, actually.
Okay.
Basically, you get a big frozen lump of T-shirt, and the first person who can get it
torn
apart and put it on wins.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do that at the Red Dog. And we got a couple other things. We got crab crawl kind of contest we're thinking about doing. Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, right. So kind of all kinds of like goofy stuff. And we got some really fun prizes for people who win those contests.
Well, it's great that Alaskan Brewing does so much for the community. And that's, again, here's a good example of them doing that.
Yep.
So, Andy, it's always good to see
yes.
you. Anything else? Anything we're missing here that you want to make sure people knew about in terms of the crawl?
Well, the pub crawl is happening. Just like I said, Friday. It's happening at Friday. Starts at 6 at Tracy's Crab Shack, and then at 8 at the Red Dog. And you can join up with the party, Red Dog or Alaskan or Imperial throughout the night. And then also Imperial Red Ale now in 4-packs, just on shelves. We're just making this announcement this week. It's kind of been out here and there in certain markets, and you might have been able to see it here in 4-packs. But if you haven't yet, look for it. It's an 8.5% red ale with a lot of hop, forward hop flavor, but a really nice malty
base. It's got a long,
base.
Long finish.
That's right. That's right. It really does. Yep. And Skol. Cheers.
All righty. Andy Klein.
Cheers to you. Jamie,
they
didn't tell me you were hosting.
Thank you very much for coming in.
I'm so excited to see you in here hosting.
All that preparation I did for this, I only asked one question.
I know, and you still haven't had a beer. Come on. Here, I'm having one.
All right, thank you both for coming in.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, let's have some music.
There's a place on the corner where the gang loves to meet, where the jukebox music makes you pat your feet. In the middle of the evening when the spirits are gay, the fat bartender, you will hear him say,
"Shut up!
Look over me!"
And drink your beer. There's a man asleep neath the table in the rear.
Shut up!
Look. Oh, sorry.
And drink your beer. It's time to have another. Now Patrick Mahoney, he was always the same. He'd lick any man with an Irish name. Patrick, walk in. Now this is the place where the chorus began.
Shut up!
I didn't do anything.
And drank your beer. The man's still asleep neath the table in the rear.
Shut up!
Oh, I'm asleep.
And drank your beer. It's time to have another. If the play place gets noisy and you know that it will. The folks all around you seem to have their fill. You all know the words from beginning to end. So one, two, three, let's all sing it again.
Now what's the matter?
And drink your beer. The man's still asleep neath the table in the rear.
I want to fight.
Drink your beer. It's time to have another.
Oh, excuse me.
Once again, it's time to dance the winter dark away at the Barn Dance this Saturday, February 21st, 7:30 p.m. at the St. Anne's Parish Hall on 5th Street downtown. There's always live music, and this month it's by the Full Circle String Band, who play some of the most danceable music in town. And Odette Edgar will teach and call contra dances. You don't need any experience or a partner, just be ready for a fun and friendly atmosphere. Student and senior discounts and free for JVs and AmeriCorps. Sponsored by the Juno Folk Dancers. Barn Dance, Saturday.
Okay, in the studios now we have Matt Lillard and Jeff Reclow, both from Eagle Crest. Welcome, both of you. I know you're regular visitors here on a Juno afternoon to tell people what's going on at Eagle Crest, so have at it.
Yeah, well, first, we had a wonderful weekend this past weekend. We reopened the Porcupine area and had some great lessons with our whiskey programs and some Learn to lessons, and then we had a wonderful fireworks show, which was a huge hit, and we definitely want to thank everybody for coming out. I'll let Jennifer speak about that a little bit.
Yeah, as Matt said, the fireworks, Winter Fireworks Spectacular was a huge hit. It was a big success, and we want to thank everybody for coming out. It's our annual winter celebration, and this year we were kind of wondering if winter had forgotten about us, but it seemed like everybody was still in the mood to celebrate. We had probably around 1,300 people up there enjoying the evening's festivities, and the fireworks were spectacular. And I just wanted to give a huge shout out because this event is completely sponsored by local businesses. And I just always want to make sure that everybody knows that they sponsor the fireworks and give them a huge thank you. So it's Shattuck and Grumman, Carson Dorn, NC Machinery, McDowell Group, North Pacific Erectors, Louis Pub, the Westmark Baranoff, Erect Construction, Hangar on the Wharf, Juno Radio Center, Alaska Litho, Napa Auto Parts, and then there was some silent donors as well. So these local businesses and people got together, completely sponsored the fireworks event that was well attended, and it was just a great time on the mountain.
Yeah, I bet. Matt, you mentioned some skiing last weekend. Right?
That's correct.
And it must have been great to see some people skiing.
It was. And we're first and foremost a skier, and that's what we want to be doing most of all. So it's good to be able to open something and to utilize some snowmaking abilities that we have to be some skiing and riding somewhere. So we got the Porcupine Lift reopened last weekend, and we had some great lesson programs, and we're going to run the lift again this weekend and continue those programs. So we definitely want to invite people. You know, it's not a lot of vertical, not a ton of snow, but it's certainly beats sitting around the house on a Saturday or Sunday. So, you know, come on up and join us again. You know, as of right now, we're going to keep trying to ski and ride on something until we can't, or the snow comes. You know, one of these days we're hoping that winter wants to show up and at least give us a big dump. We definitely need a lot of snow to open the upper mount at this point, you know, 2 or 3 feet minimum.
Yeah, I guess we all know it's still possible, but it just, the on the calendar you look and you go, oh boy, you know. I mean, because it can still snow a lot in late February.
It can.
And March.
And you look at the long range and we're eternal optimists as ski area operators, but it's hard. This season definitely makes it hard. And I think that's one of our biggest struggles is staying positive. You know, we've got a lot of staff that depend on the ski area for a livable wage and income in the winter, and giving them some hours and trying to keep them occupied is one of our biggest struggles too. And so, you know, we feel really bad for all of our guests and all of our users, as well as all of our staff. It's a tough year to go through something like this. And it's a shame because we've had a lot of really great momentum, and we'll continue to carry that on next year when it snows again. And you know, maybe if we get some snow this year, but it's tough to have a winter like this, and we're not alone. I can say that I obviously follow other areas around the country and the whole Pacific Northwest, and then all the way down into California and the Sierras is feeling the same weather pattern. We're getting emails on a daily basis almost where people are shutting down, much like we are. So it's tough, but we'll weather it, and winter will come back again. Just might be a while.
Jeffrey, I want to circle back to the event you had, the fireworks, because we talked last week and there was going to be an auction. You had some great kind of historical Eagle Crest items that you were going to auction off. How did that go?
That went really well. We auctioned off trail signs and a bubble chair and one of the older Black Bear chairs, and all the proceeds went to the Eagle Crest Foundation, which is there in support of Eagle Crest, and they raised about $1,400. So it was really fun. Drew a lot of people up there. I think a lot of people like to have that little bit of history of Eagle Crest on their wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the downside of not having snow, the good side of that is it allows us to kind of dig through the attics and kind of see what we have out there. So you never know. We might have another silent auction here in the near future.
I saw this afternoon. Is that something you want to talk about today, or is that...
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, one of the things we're obviously trying to do is provide some sort of value above and beyond the Porcupine area and the 5 days we've had in the Upper Mountain for our pass holders. And we've worked with the Juneau Parks and Rec Department to offer some discounts for pass holders, and I'll let Jeffrey expand upon it a little bit.
Yeah, this is new. Just will go into effect starting tomorrow, and we've partnered with CBJ Parks and Rec. And so at the Treadwell Ice Arena, the Augustus Brown Pool, and the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, season pass holders will receive a 50% discount off of published rates on designated days and times. And you can find more information out about that on our website at skijuneau.com. We'll also be sending an e-newsletter out tomorrow that will tell our pass holders a little bit more about this perk. And this is one of many perks that we are offering our season pass holders. A lot of local businesses have gotten together either pre-season or as the season have gone on to give discounts to our season pass holders. And we also have a partnership reciprocal ticketing agreement with many ski areas around the country that have also giving discounts, everything from free lift tickets to 50% off lift tickets to discounts on lodging as well. So season pass holders, if you're just not thinking that Porcupine is enough, check out our website, skijuneau.com, go to season passes and season pass perks. And if you're headed down south, you might just find yourself at a ski area that you can get a free lift ticket.
Very good. I have one more question, but I want to make sure, were there other things that you wanted to talk about today?
No, that's mainly it. You know, we're going to be open again on Porcupine for Saturday and Sunday, and come on up and get a couple runs in and grab a burger and some fries and say hi. And we're still not giving up hope yet. And if it snows, we're going to be as aggressive as we can to open up more terrain. So we just have to wait and see.
And I think if you still had made this a goal this season to learn how to ski or snowboard, and you're thinking, oh man, I can't meet that goal. No, you're wrong. You can meet the goal. The skiing on and snowboarding on Porcupine is great. It's great learning conditions. So give us a call at 790-2000 extension 211. We've got instructors. We'll get you to meet that goal and get you enjoying the freedom and the fun of skiing down snowboarding down Porcupine.
So we just got just a little bit of time here, but my question has to do with the Juneau Ski Club, because I know a few weeks ago we saw a great picture in the paper of them hiking up the mountain, and it's one of the great, youth activity clubs in Juneau, of which there are many. What are they doing these days? How are they handling this?
Well, the good news is right now they're up in Alyeska in Girdwood competing at a big race series up there, and that I think that's going really well. They're due back tonight, so they were able to go train down south. We've had some training higher up on the mountain on some man-made snow that they've hiked to, and we'll continue to try to give them as much training as we can until we can't anymore. So they're struggling as much as we can, but they're getting practice in, and you see lots of people seeing them on Porcupine, and there's skiing to be had and skills to be learned in all conditions.
And I think, as Matt said, they've had some great results. I think I saw something about 7 podiums. So
excellent.
It's been good.
Excellent. Jeffra, Matt, thank you very much for coming in. Eagle Crest, let it snow.
Thank you.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K21...